Hello, everybody. In today's episode, I put out a call on Twitter and the A&G Discord for all your fantasy hockey questions, specifically trade questions and how to prepare for your playoffs, and you delivered. I've got a great mailbag show locked and loaded for you, so I don't want to waste any time. Let's get to biz. This is Apples and Genos. You are listening to Cream of the Crop. Joining me here on Cream of the Crop, a fantasy hockey podcast presented by Apples and Genos, the number one fruit-based fantasy hockey podcast out there. Confirmed, all right? We're the only one, all right? As it should be, all right? I am your host, Blake Creamer. Please follow me over on Twitter /X at Blake Creamer AG. Also, Apples and Genos has a great Discord, and it's popping off right now. There's lots of questions. I got all the questions from today's show right there on the Discord and on Twitter. So definitely get your biscuits in there. We've got a lot of really smart people, almost 1,100 strong fantasy managers. So thank you all for your support. And if you're not in there, get in there. Thank you very much. Also, Apples and Genos has a YouTube channel. Even if you don't partake in wanting to watch this ugly mug, it would be awesome if you head over there and give us a subscribe, like a video or two. That'd be awesome because we're doing stuff over there. I think our YouTube channel is going to be much better. We're going to work on it this off season and into next season. We got some plans. It's kind of something that we know needs a little bit of work. We want to just fine tune it. But yeah, we're doing stuff over there. And lastly, you guys can all check me out on an amazing fantasy sports app called Did It. All right. The link is going to be in the description of the show here. You can click that. You just download it to your phone. And basically what it is you can talk to me one-on-one about your fantasy teams through the app. You can share your screen. I can look at your rosters. I can help you with trades. We can talk waivers. All that goodness. I've been having a really good time and meeting a lot of really awesome people there on that app. And you get $25 off your first call. So what are you waiting for? Come on, get your biscuits in there. Oh, God, I hate promoting myself. But yeah, you got to do it, and I got to get out of the way. That's that, and this is this. All right, I'm excited about this episode. I love doing mailbag stuff, and I don't get to do it too often. So thank you, everyone that submitted a question. And yeah, I'm excited to get to your questions here. But the playoffs are coming, everybody. Yeah, this is the time of year that we worked hard for all year. So let's not let up right now. Let's not let up on the gas. Please reach out to me on Twitter, Discord, any questions you have. It would give me great joy to help this community stack up some dubs. All right, that's why we're here. So let's get to it. But yeah, before I get to your mailbag questions, just a little bit on trades in general. Personally, I've made quite a few trades myself this season, and I do consider myself a pretty active fantasy manager in the trade market there. I just make decisions really quickly. So yeah, that kind of helps me with my trades. I don't kind of hem and haw too much. I'm pretty decisive and I get it done. So, but the reason I do the Cream Exchange show, which is the buy low, sell high shows, is basically to break down player values over shorter periods of time to see who we can target and who we can use as bait trade targets, right? So, but I am excited to talk to you all about a little bit of trade strategy here. I wanted to just talk a little bit about one of the leagues I'm in where I've been probably my most active when it comes to trading. And that is it's a 12 team keep 3 points league. And yeah, hands down, this is the league where I've been popping off with trades. This is Nate and I have referenced this one before. Josh is in it too. This is a league we call ourselves experts. So we call it the Experts League. It's basically cupful point scoring. And yeah, you keep 3, and I'm in there with a bunch of other fantasy analysts. And it's my first year. I inherited a team in there, just one of the managers decided not to join after the second year. So I got some decent keepers. My keepers on that team were Uncle Leon Draisaitl.
Hello!
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 Miro Heiskanen and Adam Fox, those are the three players I chose to keep. And I think I drafted well. I did end up with Barkov, Philip Forsberg, Jonathan Marchessault, and Valeri Nichushkin, Machine Gun Valley. I also got Joel Eriksson Ek really late in that draft, so just to name a few. And I haven't changed my goalies too much on that team since the draft. I did go 0G. I ended up with Aiden Hill at pick like 194. I did draft Vitek Vanacek, but obviously he stunk this year, so I moved on from him. I ended up, you know, cycling through goalies. I had Decord for most of the season, and I just dropped Decord to add Charlie Lindgren just to get pumped 8-3, buddy. Oh, God, but that's fine. Before we get into the mailbag questions, I just wanted to give you examples of the types of trades I make, all right? And these are all trades in that league that I just described to you. So I've got three trades here I made, and I've made more than that in this league, but I'll talk to you about these three trades and the reasoning behind them. And just for context, when I started making these trades, I was in third place at the time and decided to beef up my team. I decided to go for it. So here we go. The most recent trade I did in that league was a 1-for-1. It was John Tavares for Philip Hronek, straight up, right? And this is a good example of a trade where I got what I needed, and I ended up giving up more value than, you know, like Tavares in this format. He was ranked something like 55th, and Philip Hronek was 112th, something like that. But I got something I needed because I had a glut of forwards. I had too many forwards, and I picked up Philip Hronek because Vancouver has that awesome playoff schedule there in weeks 23 to 25. They got lots of off nights and lots of games. So I had some open D spots, and Tavares was actually on the bench and on some of my busy nights. So yeah, that said, I mean, Tavares was mostly great for me on the year, but he obviously had some cold spells despite looking good under the hood. And I just felt that this was a move I needed to make because there was going to be times, like I said, where Tavares was on the bench. And it feels weird to make a trade like this when you're quite obviously giving up a little bit more than you're getting back. But I think personally too, like this was a recent trade, and this was just as JT was kind of getting moved down the lineup. You know, now he's playing third line, second line, or whatever's going on with Tavares there. He's getting the 14 to 16 minute treatment, which is not awesome. Meanwhile, Philip Hronek is getting time on power play one randomly. So, you know, it looks a lot better than maybe it did when I first made the trade. But yeah, I still like it. I got exactly what I needed. I'm going to be able to get Hronek into all these games, and JT is kind of falling off a little bit. So yeah, that's one trade. Just a good example of, yeah, getting something you needed, giving up a little more than, you know, if in a bubble, that trade really doesn't make a lot of sense, but it certainly made sense in my position here. Another trade I want to talk about, Valeri Nichushkin. I gave up Valeri Nichushkin and got Matt Boldy. And this was actually a trade that was offered to me from the guy who's in first place. And it was such an interesting trade. And it was weird to get it because I'm very high on Boldy. I'm obviously very high on Nuke as well. But he was, you know, sitting out. He was in the player assistance program. So we didn't know when he was going to return. So this was kind of a calculated risk that the guy in first place was making. But for me, it just felt like a slam dunk, right? I was getting rid of a risky player in Nuke to get a potential stud in Boldy. And, you know, to top it off, after I traded for Matt Boldy, he's 10th in the league in scoring over that time with 14 points in 9 games. Bang, buddy. He's been incendiary. He looks ridiculous out there. You know, and Boldy was a player who I've been trying to target all season. And I think this manager knew that. He knows that I like Matt Boldy. So yeah, he served it up and I took it, right? It sort of landed in my lap, but I think in a bubble, Nichushkin has more value, particularly this season, but Boldy closed the gap and he was crushing metrics at the time and not quite converting, right? So I felt something was coming and it did, and that's excellent. That's lucky too, but now that Nichushkin is healthy and back, when he gets back, I think we're going to see the true value of this trade, right? Definitely, like I said, calculated risk by the manager who offered it to me. He was and is still in first place, so he could definitely absorb those zeros and risk, you know, of potentially not even getting Nichushkin back this year. So to me, this is a great win-win trade at this point of the season. And now, because of Matt Boldy's help, I'm tied for first in that league, and I should have a bye locked up. So this trade has really worked out for me. I mean, Matt Boldy, I think Minnesota in the weeks where I need games. They only have six games, so they play 2 3-game weeks with only one off night. So it's not great. Boldy's playoff schedule, not awesome. That might be another reason why this guy was not too worried about getting rid of him. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. But Matt Boldy's been excellent for me. That's a really kind of an interesting trade that he made and a calculated risk that worked out for him now that Nichushkin is back. And the last trade I want to talk about, I just want to bring attention to this because I made a bunch of these. And shout out to Nate Grudniblik. He's the guy that sort of broke the dam open. I made my first trade with Nate where it was basically a pick swap because we're in a keeper league, obviously. So he didn't care about the player that he was getting back. He cared about the pick he was getting back, right? So in this particular trade, and this wasn't with Nate, but I traded Sean Monahan and a fourth round pick, which in our league is equivalent to a first round pick. So because you keep three, that's pick one, pick two, pick three. So a fourth round pick is your first pick, basically. So I traded Sean Monahan and a fourth round pick for Vinny Tro and a 14th round pick. And man, Vincent Trocheck has been going off. He's amazing in this format. I think he's something like 22nd overall. And I did want to target New York a little bit because they have a decent couple of weeks during the semis and the finals in the league there. And I felt there was a good chance to get some guys on that top power play. So yeah, I just wanted to draw attention to that pick swap, right? Like the guy I was trading here, Nate, is out of the playoff picture. So the trade I made with Nate was Thomas Hertl and a fifth round pick going to Nate for Mika Zibanejad and a 15th round pick. So something like that. So Nate got the pick swap that he wanted, and I got to stack Vinny Tro and Mika Zibanejad together. I also made a similar trade to pick up Chris Kreider as well. So I'm just popping off with the New York Rangers. They do have a great schedule there for those 2 weeks that I need them. So there you go. And ever since I've made these trades, dang, my team has been pretty unstoppable. You know, I do still have one streamer spot, so that's good. Anyways, this is just sort of the way I approach trades. But even further to this, I've mentioned this before here and there, but I'm not the biggest fan of making massive trades, right? Like 3 for 3 or 4 for 4 type deals. I think those really change the makeup of your team too much. And there are so many variables that you can't really account for all of them, right? And I think you start to lose a little of the value and then it becomes a wash, right? Like I always like to think, like, do I need to make this trade? I think some people really get tunnel vision when it comes to making trades. They just want to make the trade no matter what. And I would definitely suggest just sitting back and thinking about why. Why am I making this trade, right? Because I can, or because it honestly makes my team better, right? So for me personally, I'm just more of a fan of tinkering, right? And I've mentioned that before. Actually, Josh Hutchinson and I did a trade show in the off season, I think. And yeah, that's still up there on the Apples and Genos feed. So go back and check that out. I'll reference it. I'll put the link in the description if you want to look at that one. It's a great episode. Basically, just how I think about trades, how Josh thinks about trades. But yeah, one of the things I say is I just like to tinker. I like to get a little bit better over time, right? Also, I'm not a huge fan of making trades solely on schedule alone. Obviously, maximizing schedule is going to be key for us to getting our wins. But sometimes we're talking about 2 or 3 games over a 2-week period where you're giving up a much better player just to get a couple extra games in from a lesser player. And I try and stay away from those. I'd rather just ride my horses, right? This all said, you know, we got to dive into some of these mailbag questions because there's some really relevant stuff in here. All right. So let's get to it. All right, first question comes from Guggs the Jug. He says, Blake, my man, I heard that you're in a bangers category league, and I just want to recommend Nick Foligno. The dude is stapled to Bedard, and he's getting an insane amount of points, which I expect to drop, but would love to hear your opinion on. When he's cold on points, he's still good for great hits and healthy faceoff wins. If you count faceoffs, been absolutely loving the guy. Another bangers category unicorn I'd love to have your opinion on is Noel Achari. This dude is right wing and center eligible and wins a ton of faceoffs and gets a great amount of hits and blocks per game. There you go. So, Guggs, thanks for the question, or just even the thought. Yeah, Nick Foligno, I don't know. I think, yeah, this is a viable streamer for sure. I mean, if you look at what he's done this season, Nick Foligno, he's on a 43-point pace, 22 goals pace. I mean, it's decent. The metrics are terrible, right? As expected, right? This guy's 282nd in shots on goal per 60, 401st in shot attempts per 60, and then 295th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. And the on-ice numbers are terrible as well, like in the 300s, right? So I don't know. I can't get too excited about a guy like Nick Foligno. But yeah, if you're in a bangers league, like that makes absolute sense. Like this guy certainly can do the thing, right? Like in 52 games, he's already got 135 hits. That's nice, right? And the faceoff wins are okay. I mean, nothing really blowing the doors down. But I mean, yeah, this guy has access to Connor Bedard. It's reasonable, right? 43-point pace, I think that's absolutely where this player should be. So, yeah, definitely in a bangers. I think he's a viable player. Noel Achari, that's like a streamer for a bangers league to me. It's just not a guy I'm very interested in at all. Better real-life player than fantasy player to me. Like, he doesn't get any minutes either, right? When I'm looking for bangers, I'm looking for guys that are getting minutes. And that's what's nice about Nick Foligno for sure. He's getting good deployment. Like, you know, when you're looking for hits and blocks and shots, like you want guys that are out on the ice, right? And obviously, you know, Noel Achari, he's averaging under 13 minutes average time on ice on the season. So that's not awesome. But I think there are guys I'd be more interested in, especially if faceoffs, like if you're looking for faceoff hits and blocks, like I'm more interested in guys like Jordan Staal or Nick Bjugstad, right? Who's actually been putting some offense on the board. Or what about JGP on the island there, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, right? Or even, you know, another Chicago guy, Jason Dickinson. These are all guys that are banging like crazy, lots of hits, decent blocks for forwards, and they're crushing in faceoff hits, much better than Noel Achari and Nick the Hulk Foligno. So yeah, my two cents on that, but I, you know, these guys are absolutely viable. I don't know how many teams are in your bangers league there, Gugs. So yeah, if you're in like a 16 teamer or 18 team or 20, yeah, I could absolutely see going to pick up guys like Noel Achari, right? Cause they can do stuff. Anywho, let's move on. Next question is from Wild Wubus. All right. He says, I am currently trying to trade for some Washington and Rangers for their playoff schedules. Trocheck is the top guy I'm gunning for, as you should, all right? That guy's a legend. He's a unit. I'm also thinking of adding Matt Rempe for those beautiful PIMs and peripherals. Are there any buy lows from the Caps or Rangers that you would be buying low on currently? That's an interesting question. Let's look at some of the Capitals. I mean, their whole team is kind of stinky. They have been all year. But that said, they've got some guys that are doing stuff. Obviously, Ovechkin's your prime target. He's your prime buy low. He's on a 64-point pace, right? 24 goals. Not what we expected from Ovechkin this year, but he's done a lot of that damage in the last little bit here. And on the season, metrics are still good.
Oh. You know what I'm talking about. Oh. Yeah.
Right, we got to talk about it. Like, he's 29th overall in shots on goal per 60, 14th overall in shot attempts per 60, right? Shooting percentage still stinks. He's at 8.3%. This is the lowest shooting percentage of his career. It's just silly, right? So I expect that still to come up. But Washington, yeah, their playoff hopes are fading. And I still think, though, that because Ovechkin is so close to this record, they're going to trot him out there for big minutes and really, really try and get him this record. So I'm not at all worried about Ovechkin falling off for the rest of the season. In fact, I think he might ramp up. So obviously Ovechkin is your prime target there. I really like John Carlson as well. I've got him in a couple spots. I think he's absolutely a buy low. I mean, you know, Nate talked about him a little bit on the Puzzling Players show. And I echo all that stuff, right? Like, I think there could be some age-related decline here. He's 34, playing a ton of minutes, right? He's just doesn't have the same kind of teammates to play with this year in Washington. But, you know, that said, this is a guy that he's got 70-point potential as a defenseman, right? Like, he scored 70 points 2 years ago. That's not that long ago, right? So, obviously, the team is a lot different, but you know, he's got 34 points in 58 games. That's a 48-point pace. Not too shabby. So John Carlson is a guy I would absolutely look at there. And then, yeah, if you're in a bangers league here with Pim. So Tom Wilson, the guy's a mega buy low. He's probably a stay low this year. But, you know, could you snake Tom Wilson away from his owner? Like, that's a guy that he should get you the Pims. He should get you the hits, right? Maybe there's some goals coming. I don't know, right? He's, you know, didn't do anything here to, you know, tonight, but Yeah, those are guys I would be looking at there on Washington. And then for the Rangers, like maybe Zibanejad as a buy low. Nate talked about him on the Puzzling Players show as well. And I agree with most of it. But the only thing I didn't really agree with, I don't think this is age-related decline with Mika Zibanejad. I think you get a new coach in there with different systems, right? And yeah, he's changed things up, obviously. It's a little bit different than what Zibanejad is used to. But the good thing is the deployment hasn't really changed. But the bad thing is the shots on goal are down, right, across the season. The individual scoring chances down across the season, right? But this is an amazing power play performer. He's got 23 power play points already in 58 games. I could see him, you know, up over 30 by the end of the year, right? And I think he has a little bit of headroom on the power play, right? He's only got 9 power play goals where he got 20 last year in 82 games. So I think he's got a little headroom there. He's still getting all that deployment on the power play. So 76-point pace Zibanejad, I think that's a little bit low. I think this is more of a point-per-game player at this point. So you could put out some offers for either of those guys. I mean, if you really want to, you can head to the waiver wire. Alex Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko, you know, Jacob Trouba. These are guys that have value, obviously, depending on your format. Like, if it is a true bangers, like, Trouba would be massive. But I don't know that he's a buy low, right? I think you'd have to give up a pretty penny to get him. All right, let's move on to the next. We are talking about Bluto. Bluto says, excited for the episode. I have a few recent trades that I made to prep for playoffs. He's attached to scoring. Looks like pretty standard stuff here. There's, you know, points for faceoff wins, negative points for faceoff losses, hits are 0.5, blocks are 0.75, so that's pretty high. Goals are 5, assists are 2.5, and there's negative 0.75 for PIMS. So that's all interesting. That all said, these are the trades he made. Number one, traded Pavel Buchnevich for Tage Thompson.
I think he's talking to you.
And number two, traded Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen for Alex Tuck. He says that he had too many goalies, so it sounds like UPL was expendable. And he also says he's sitting in first place in line for a bye in the first round. So, yeah, Bluto, you're in a great spot there. And I really like these trades. I'm still super high on Tage. I know, like, it's been a massively frustrating season, and the deployment's kind of been all over the shop. But he's been cooking lately. He really has. Like he scored a goal tonight, which, thank you, buddy. Like, I've got him in 4 spots. You know, last 5 games for Tage, 3 points, averaging just over 18 minutes. But the metrics, dang. I mean, you can't. It's like the Brandon Montour situation with Tage. It really is. Like, he's top power play, still getting good minutes, and the metrics are ludicrous. Like, last 5 games, he's 4th overall in the league in shots a goal per 60. He's 1st overall in individual Corsi 4 per 60, and he's 6th overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. And his shooting percentage is 7.7%. No. No, this is a buy low. Tage is a massive buy low. So, and he's only pacing for 57 points on the season. Oh my God. Like, Tage's owners are pissed. You know, this is not what they drafted him for, you know, late first round, early second round, mid second round, like now. So it's been a really frustrating season, but I think some of that has to do with coaching. It just hasn't, he hasn't got the minutes that he truly needs, and they've been switching the lines all up. So I think things are stabilizing, and he's looked good as of late. So Tage is a massive dub for you for Buchnevich, in my opinion. And then UPL for Tuck, yeah. If you don't need UPL, yeah, grab Tuck. One thing about Alex Tuck, like, his power play deployment has really fallen off. Same with Tage. Like, just the whole Buffalo power play hasn't been nearly as good as it was last year, right? And maybe last year was the outlier. But Alex Tuck has still been a massively valuable player. He's getting the, you know, the 20-minute treatment on a nightly basis. They've put him back up with Jeff Skinner and Tage Thompson, so that's huge. And, you know, his power play deployment is up and down, right? But he's still getting some decent time on ice on the power play. So I'm a fan of the player. I think that he does other things too, hits and blocks, you know, reasonably. It's just been the power play that's really kind of taken the floor out from Alex Tuck there. But I think it's a great trade for UPL. If you're good in the goalie position, you just picked up another stud and you stack him with Thompson. Boom, you're loving life. And you got a buy in the first round, buddy. You're going to get that chip, and I love to see it. All right. Next question. Get your fill up. Says 10-team head-to-head points only. He packaged Steven Stamkos, Rupe Hintz, and the professor, Mike Matheson, for JT Miller and Brandon Montour. Oh, my God. He says, lots of streamers, skaters available to maximize schedule, and the Miller Montour have the best playoff schedules and recent production. You're damn right they do. Dear God. This is a massive dub for you. Get your fill up. I think like Stamkos is, we'll talk about him a little bit later. There's a question on him, but you know, he's moved down the lineup. He's playing on the third line right now with Nick Paul, which is, you know, it's not the best place to be. Roope Hintz has been minimized a little bit. Just that whole top line in Dallas has been minimized a little bit due to the success of the second line and the second power play as well. So Hintz is in a bit of a funk. I mean, I love Mike Matheson, as you all know, but I mean, Montour is a great replacement there. And Montour is cooking right now. 10 points in his last five games, buddy. That's what we do. Oh, for those of you that held on to Montour, I salute you. I did too. I got him in three spots and I'm loving life. All right. We look like geniuses. All right. But it was really a 50-50 chance. That's not true. All right. We knew it was happening. But yeah, get your fill up. This is a massive dub for you. I love that you were able to open up a streamer spot. This is a nice piece as well. I think there's a question on it later. But yeah, we need our streamer spots for the playoffs, right? At least one. If you got one, that would be great. So do your best. Because that's we got to suffocate these guys with games played, right? And you need a streamer spot to do that. So when you can make a trade 3-for-2 or 2-for-1, I think sometimes I'll even give too much in a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-2. I'll give 2 or I'll give 3 just to get one good player or two good players back. And in this case, get your fill up. You got the two best players, you know, pretty much in the deal. For me, you got the best forward and the best defenseman, in my opinion. So that's kind of a hot take, Montour over Matheson, but I think the ceiling for Montour is much higher than Matheson. So there you go. And you got your open streamer spot. So nice trade there. Really like that. Next question from Party Never Dies. Trade strategy for keepers leagues. Target the players that can't be held for another year. Example, I had Draisaitl, and before Christmas, he wasn't doing well. And my time was up for keeping him next year due to me having him last year. So it sounds like it's a two-year keeper league. Traded Draisaitl and Mo Sider.
They're heading for the old mill.
No, we're not.
Well, let's go to the old mill anyway. Get some cider.
Who he drafted in the late rounds. And Nico Hischier, who he picked up off the wire. For Austin Matthews and Brady Tkachuk, this is a 10-team bangers Cats League. And it turned his team into, you know, having those hits in the forward group. Bang. Pretty nice trade. Jeez. I mean, you gave up the best player in Draisaitl, and you did give up Sider as well in a bangers Cats League. I mean, that he's a beefer, we know that. But to get Austin Matthews back, and now you can have him for 2 years, and Brady Tkachuk to cover all those categories, who I also think Brady Tkachuk has a higher offensive ceiling than he's showing, right? And it maybe doesn't happen this year, but I think that that's a guy I'm actually pretty high on, not just because of the periffs. So, this is a great idea, kind of in line with what we just talked about, another 3-for-2 where you're opening up a streamer spot. And in this particular case, like, you know, full transparency here, I don't play in any keeper leagues that have a term for your keepers, right? It's just keep forever until you get rid of them, right? So this is absolutely an excellent strategy. Yeah, like you were going to lose Draisaitl at the end of the year. It's like an unrestricted free agent, right? You got to go out and get something for this player. And basically whatever you get for him is just all icing, right? Otherwise you just lose him forever. And you picked up Austin Matthews and Brady Tkachuk. I mean, I think that's a major win. Austin Matthews is looking like the player we all thought he should be last year, right? So it's a great move for you. It sucks losing Draisaitl, but now you get to enjoy Matthews' sweet goal production for the next couple years. I love that. Next question, Nestle Swolehouse. Playoffs are week 21 to 23. Currently overloaded on centers and looking at either trading or straight up dropping to open a streamer spot. Current pure centers are Hischier, Bennett, Lindholm with other center eligible people. 14 teamer. Also have the Vegas tandem in net and thinking Thompson is a drop with Joseph Wall in his IR. With Lyon as his other goalie. All right. Thoughts on drops, trades, and let's get these chips, you damn Skippy. All right. And he's got his scoring settings here, which all reasonable stuff. It's a points league with, you know, minimal banger weighting, 0.3 for hits and 0.3 for blocks. There you go. To me, like, first off, let's take a look at the schedule here. So the time that your playoffs are, that's March 4th to March 17th, right? Of those players you mentioned, it looks to me like the Vancouver Canucks actually have one of the worst schedules out there. Over that two-week period, the Canucks have five games with one off night. That show ain't no good. So, I don't know. And, like, I know you've mentioned Lindholm here. I think Lindholm having that schedule, I think you could drop him. I think you can drop him comfortably. And if you wanted to, you know, you could bounce Thompson as well. But I'd start with Lindy and... You know, just right there, if you want to open up a streamer spot. To me, Lindholm, yeah, like the potential is there. He's obviously got a high ceiling because of the players that he's potentially playing with, right? But I mean, in the last five games, this guy's been invisible, at least for fantasy, like one assist in five games, still getting awesome deployment, but 312th in shots on goal per 60, 324th in shot attempts per 60, and 326th in individual scoring chances for per 60. And that's not good, right? And now he's on a 51-point pace. So again, I've talked about Lindholm a little bit. This guy's much more valuable in real life than he is in fantasy. And not to mention he's been moved down the line and off the top power play there in Vancouver. So I have no problem dropping Lindholm, especially with this kind of schedule, to open up a streamer spot. So definitely do that. But while I've got you here, like, obviously you're looking at some of the schedule plays here, but your best teams for that week or those weeks, week 21 to 23, Anaheim and Winnipeg both play seven games, but with five off nights. That's huge. Those are the two top teams in terms of off nights. And then St. Louis is probably the other team I'd really be looking at targeting. They play eight games with four off nights. They have the most games during that time. So, So St. Louis, Columbus, and Pittsburgh, they all have eight games, but St. Louis has the four off nights. So yeah, kick tires in St. Louis. Like, you know, you're looking at their top line, basically Buchnevich. I love Kyrou. I think Kyrou is still, he's still a minor buy low. So you might be able to snake Kyrou out of there. That's a player I'm interested in. I was able to pick up Kyrou in one of my leagues as well. Just hoping for the best. I just like what he's able to do with his shot and chance generation. So there you go. Nestle Swolehouse. I like your name. All right. Next one, Bananas Forever. Trades are primarily about consolidating value for me. A stream slot can be both a revolving door to meet needs and a pedestal to showcase free agent talent to league mates. My most successful strategy's been to package a hot streamer with a more proven piece, either name value or steady redlining performance in current recent years. Usually this buffers skepticism of the streamer with a sense of security. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I like that. I talk about that a lot on the Cream Exchange about using players as sweeteners, right? Finding players with, you know, inflated value and just throwing them in as a trade chip, right? To try and lock down a player that's more consistent, right? And so further to this, he says he made two trades in a month to bulk up for playoffs. One proper thievery and the other much more even given his categories. So he's got face-off wins and it's an ESPN league. Brutal position updates this year. Yeah. So basically, long story short, he's traded Joe Pavelski, Claude Giroux, Arturi Lehkonen, and Connor Ingram. And he's got Kyle Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Yes.
Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch. Bang. Yeah, this is right in line with what we talked about earlier. I love that you folks are getting these trades done, right? These 3-for-2s, these 2-for-1s. And in this case, this wasn't a 4-for-3. There was some other trades that he made here. But yeah, like basically he opened up a spot for himself and he was able to lock down Kyle Connor, Thompson, and Tuch. And I think, yeah, I've already talked on Thompson and Tuch, but Kyle Connor, obviously this is a great piece here. You know, they don't have that amazing schedule, weeks 23 to 25, but it doesn't matter. Like, this is a guy, he's going to be in your lineup, right? And, you know, now that you have Thompson and Tuch, you could maybe open up a little bit of space on those busy nights. So I love it. I love what you've been able to do here. He also said it frees up his IR return. So if he's got players in the IR, he can bring them back in, gives him Buffalo stock schedule, and he can retain a streaming slot for the playoffs. Is this worth the trouble? What would you have done differently? Without knowing all the particulars of your league, I think this is absolutely worth the trouble. You basically gave up nothing to get a high ceiling player in Tage Thompson, a player that's already cooking pretty good, Kyle Connor, on a great team. And then Alex Tuch, who's, you know, been moved back up to the top line. He's getting buku minutes. I think this is a slam dunk for you. These are like Pavelski? No, I don't care about that. Claude Giroux, yeah, he's playing okay, whatever. Lekkonen, to me, like, it's a player I'm still very excited about, but with Nichushkin coming back, we got to see what it looks like, right? But last year, Lekkonen and Nichushkin both got, you know, 18 to 20 minute deployment, right? Obviously, the team looks a little bit different this year, but I think that Lekkonen is still going to be decent, but, you know, you got to give up something to get something, right? And Lekkonen, that's a nice piece there. Connor Ingram, yeah, Arizona stinks right now. So you're not missing out there. You know, Ingram caught lightning in a bottle early in the season, and it's just been downhill ever since. So yeah, this is a great, great move for you. Bananas forever. So congratulations to you. It's nice work. All right, next one up here. JHL hits. Hey, Blake. Fantasy trade deadlines are coming up quick. I'm looking to lock down the best playoff goalies before the deadline. I've got some decent goalies for an 18-team non-keeper league with games started, wins, goals against, save percentage, and shutouts. And his goalies are Georgie, Philip Gustafson, and David Riddick.
Ew, David.
I should flip them for ones that will have favorable matchups during playoff weeks. I figure that with skaters, number of games is huge, but for goalies, other things factor in a lot too. Quality of competition, how good the goalie's team is, how good the goalie is, and how often they play relative to the other goalie on the team. Will they get traded off the team before the real trade deadline? So he says, looking at quality of competition for the Yahoo Standard playoff weeks, his playoffs are March 25th to April 18th. He's saying he's not sure who to try and trade for. The teams with the best schedules, easy schedules, seem to be Calgary, Seattle, St. Louis. Then it jumps to Philly, LA, Minnesota, Carolina. Are we worried about Calgary retooling or trading Markstrom? I'll just answer that one first. Yes. Yes, we are. Markstrom has already agreed to waive his no trade clause to go to New Jersey. They just couldn't get the deal done, right? But the fact that he's willing to do that, I think there's a good chance that Markstrom gets traded. So, yeah, it's and also Calgary retooling. Like, we know that Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin, they're most likely going to get traded before the deadline here. So you're losing two of your best defensemen off your team and potentially your number one goalie, right? So, yeah, I think that that's absolutely in the cards and the range of outcomes there for the Flames. Next question, do we trust Binnington and St. Louis enough? I do. I think St. Louis has proven at times this year, like they've gone on a little run here, and Binnington's had a nice little season here. It's nothing spectacular, but he's just a little bit better than average. And I think he's been even better than that this season. Binnington has been for real. So that's a player. If you are looking to target a goalie, I think Binnington is reasonable, right? And you don't have to give up the farm for him. Next question, is Decord going to lose any net to Grubauer? I'm concerned for sure. The fact that It was Decord's start. It should have been Decord's start in this last game here, and they gave it to Grubauer. So if they're going to do one game Joey Decord, one game Grubauer, like, and just do it like that, both the goalies are going to lose their value. And I don't like it. It's not worth the headache to me. So the last question he asks here, is it worth it to trade Georgiev for any of these guys just because of the schedule? And I did take a look here just at your playoff weeks here. And to me, no, I don't think it's worth it. I really don't. Like, you know, all the stuff you're saying makes sense, like strength of schedule, the teams you're playing, that's getting quite granular there with the goalies. And yeah, that's all well and good to do that. But like trading Georgia, first off, during that time that you mentioned your playoffs, Colorado has 11 games with four off nights, right? If you were to trade for Jacob Markstrom, let's say, Calgary has 12 games with five off nights. So, you know, there, yes, Georgiev and Markstrom are both the respective number ones for those teams. So you're going to trade, to me, a goalie on a better team that's not retooling, Georgiev, to Calgary for, you know, or to get Jacob Markstrom on Calgary, a team that's, you know, potentially losing their top two defensemen and Markstrom's aging, like, for one game, basically. That, to me, is not worth it. Like, there's no scenario, really, during this time where I really think there's any value to be gained here. Like, if I was going to move off anyone, it would be Philip Gustafson, because to me, David Riddick he's still a streamer level goalie. And I think that the Kings are going to address their goalie problem by the end of the season. I think trade deadline, they're definitely going to be in on some of these goalies, and, you know, we'll see what shakes out, right? I don't think they're going to roll with David Riddick and Cam Talbot into the playoffs. That's my two cents. So really, we're just looking at, like, gaining one game maybe. And I'm just not into it. I think if I were you, I would hold Georgiev. I would hold Gustafsson, you know, like maybe. Like, I just can't see even Minnesota going like a tandem with Marc-Andre Fleury and Gustafsson. I think Gustafsson's going to get the reins there, but, you know, they could give like a 60-40 or a 55-45 Gustafsson and Fleury. So maybe you move off of Gustafsson for a player like, could you get Stuart Skinner?
Seymour?
You're fired!
I'm sorry. Did you just call me a liar?
No, I said you were fired.
Oh. That's much worse.
Because that way, I mean, like, to me, I'm not looking at the strength of schedule, like the teams they're playing. I'm just looking more so the team they would be on, right? Like you mentioned in your question. And Edmonton, right? Like, they've got 13 games, 8 off nights. So that, to me, is a clear advantage. So if you could get off of Gustafsson and add Stuart Skinner, I'd do that, right? But other than that, I don't think anything is really worth it. I think, you know, maybe you just stick with what you have. I mean, another player you might want to look at is Tristan Jarry, right? Pittsburgh has 12 games with 5 off nights. But again, you might gain like 1 or 2 games. And to me, it's just not worth it, right? You've got a good goalie situation and you can drop Riddick at any time and do something else, right? So if I were you, I'd stand pat. All right, we're still going. We got a couple more questions. Thanks for sticking with me here, folks. Appreciate you. All right, Matthew C. Hey, Blake, I traded Lehkonen and Harley for Montour in a 16-team head-to-head categories league. I really like Lehkonen, and I couldn't fit him in my playoff lineup with Connor and Ovi. Would love to know your thoughts. Thanks. Yeah. this is an interesting one because I like both of the players that you kind of got off of, but obviously I love Brandon Montour as well. To me, it feels like you gave up a little bit too much for Brandon Montour. But that said, I mean, look at what Brandon Montour is doing now. Like, if he really does pop off to the level or get close to the level he was at last year, like, you know, 60 to 70 point Brandon Montour, this would be absolutely worth it. It, you know, but I think, like I said earlier, I think Lehkonen has some headroom. And if he keeps the good deployment, I think, you know, we could have a 60 point player. Thomas Harley's been ridiculous this year. Like, this is a defenseman that's on a 20 goal pace, 50 points. And he played more minutes than Miro Heiskanen the other night. So they're both good players that you got off of, but you got an excellent player in return that his role is absolutely secure as the quarterback on that top power play. And he's starting to cook, right? He's starting to put some shots on net. Yeah, I think that this is in that category of what we talked about earlier, a 2-for-1, where maybe you gave up a little too much, but you're getting what you need, right? Like you said, Lehkonen is not fitting in your playoff lineup. So instead of taking zeros, let's go get Montour. Like, this actually makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I think it's great. In a bubble, Lehkonen and Harley for Montour, maybe a little rich for me at this point in the season. But, you know, like you said, if he's not getting in your lineup, this is a smash for you. And you picked up potentially the best player in the deal. So there you go. Nice work, Matthew C. All right. Baltimore Wizard from Twitter. He says, I already clinched playoffs. Do you think it would make sense to stash Elvis Merzlikins? Yes, I do. I think if Merzlikins does get traded, which he absolutely should, get the hell out of that dumpster fire that the, you know, Columbus Blue Jackets are with Pascal Vincent there. You know, I don't like the way Merzlikins has been treated this season. I think this guy is a bona fide number one. He's had really good stretches. His team in front of him is terrible and they're terribly coached. So I'm interested for sure if Merzlikins gets moved somewhere. Obviously, I'd want to make sure that it's a number one situation, right? Like, if he's going to a place like Jersey, you know, Toronto or something, you know, like somewhere where they might need a goalie, right? I think this guy can really do some stuff. So yeah, if you can stash him, by all means. Like, the good thing is about stashing Merzlikins is he's still the quote unquote number one there in Columbus. So you're still going to get starts, like, hopefully in your whatever format you have there. Like, if there's not big negative points for losses or goals against, like, yeah, you're good to go. Just trot Merzlikins out there and then, you know, hope that he gets traded to a contender. I love the stash of Elvis Merzlikins. I think it's a good move. All right, here's another one from Hako Taco. I actually got this out of the trade section of the Discord here. Looking for some advice on this move? Would you trade a first in a keeper to acquire Rasmus Dahlin? I'm going all in for playoffs, and Buffalo has that amazing schedule. It'd mean losing Makar next year, but I'd be losing Makar the year after anyway when our keeper league resets, and I'd keep Dahlin with a fourth. So my understanding, again, I don't play in a league like this, so I'm just trying to understand this here, but if you trade your first and you wouldn't be able to keep Makar, but you'd be able to keep Dahlin for a fourth. And I think that makes some sense. But you know what? Like, I don't think the amount of value you would get for Dahlin just for these playoffs here, it's not enough. Like, just even the difference between these two players, like, you know, on the season, Makar is on a 93-point pace. Dahlin, 62-point pace. From the back end, right? You know, I know they have a great schedule, but it's not that much better, right? Like, Colorado still has some reasonable games played during that time, right? So, and you would have him all next year as well. I think if you've got Makar, I would not be getting off Makar until I had to get off Makar, right? And you can do some work next year, right? I don't think picking up Rasmus Dahlin in this particular case is going to take you over the top, right? I think having the best defenseman in the league in fantasy on your team is more likely to take you over the top, right? So for me, if you can keep him next year for one more year, yeah, I'd keep riding with Makar until I have to get off him, right? And then you can make some trades next year for whatever you think, right? And we can help you out with that too, but I would not do that, okay? All right, next one up, Kerfuffle. How many trade offers do you send to one team that get rejected without comment before giving up? Context, first time playing fantasy. I don't know my league mates personally. The GMs I'm referring have traded before, but rarely communicate. Mostly it's just a yes or no. So trading becomes really hard because I have to just guess what they want. Yeah, I mean, there's no number, right? It is annoying, though. You would like a little bit of back and forth. I don't know. I run a couple leagues, and in those leagues, we have either a Discord chat set up or a WhatsApp chat. And that's really valuable, right? Like, I talk to the commissioner and see if you can set something up, right? Because it benefits everybody. But I don't know, some leagues just don't like trading, right? And to me personally, like, I get invited to so many leagues. Like, I just choose leagues that I know I can talk with the people. You know what I'm saying? So if this is your first time playing fantasy, like, there's a lot of leagues out there where people are super engaged. And there's actually a channel in our Discord is looking for a league, it's called. So Kerfuffle, you can get your biscuits in there because next season they're putting lots of stuff up there. There's lots of people that have leagues that need players. And also we do Apples and Geno's patron leagues. We do Apples and Geno's listeners leagues. So you can get in there. I don't really have any problems getting a hold of people to make trades. But yeah, that's super frustrating. Because you need a bit of a dialogue so you can, you know, do your sell job, right? You're trying to sell this person on your player, right? So you can, you know, fleece them. But yeah, there's no number, but it is frustrating. I feel for you, my man. Next one here, we got to talk about my man, Wick. John Wick, sorry about your dog. Hey, Blake, love the trade content. As someone gearing up for a boom year with three other contenders, would you say 8 trades in a year is too many? Duchesne is off limits, of course. Was that Duchesne? Oh my God. Wick, you are amazing. All right. I love it. This guy loves Duchesne and I love Wick. So there you go. By proxy, I love Duchesne and that's where I'm at. But again, there's no number of trades, but it all depends. Like, one thing about me, like the thing I value the most about my own skill set is I feel really good at valuing players. So drafting, that's where I think, like, that's where I'm the best, right? In my own mind, right? But that's where I think my skills really lie. So I like the teams I draft. So I don't make that many trades unless my team just goes off the rails, right? But that said, I don't know. Sometimes you get offers from other people that are just too good to pass up. You can't say no, right? So no, there's definitely not a limit. But to me, making trades, that just changes the makeup of your team so much. And I don't know, yeah, like 8 trades, you might lose a feel for your team. You might like because you have a strategy going in, you put all this work in, but then you trade eight, you know, you make eight trades and who knows how many players are involved. You basically just refreshed your whole team. Like I actually played last year, the guy who won my home league, the points league that I play in, he traded his whole roster. It was insane. He did it again this year, but with, you know, less success, but he won last year making just an insane amount of trades. So it can work, but I feel like it takes some of the strategy out of it unless you're really meticulous on these trades and you know for sure that you're getting extra value here and you understand what it is going to do to your team. Does that make sense? So yeah, I would say make as many trades as you think is appropriate, right? But definitely sell high on Duchesne, my man. All right, that's we know that's a given. All right, let's move on. Next up, G'day says, perfect timing, Blake, you beauty. Oh, that's nice. My trade deadline is tomorrow. I currently have two streamer spots, and I'm thinking about filling one for the playoffs in case of injury. Who's the better player to trade for rest of season? I'm just trading draft picks. The players are Valerie Nichushkin, the full Monty, Brandon Montour, or Dylan Small Koozie Cousins. Maybe that'll stick, my man. It's a Bangers Cats League. So, yeah, that's a good question. To me, I'm taking Nichushkin, Montour, and then Cousins in that order. I think if you have a chance of getting Nichushkin, you slam that, right? This guy was, before he went off on the Players Assistance Program, he was playing the best hockey of his career. And his spot on the power play, I think he's going to go back to that. There's going to be no question. Like, that is really one of the things that drove that power play. Weird to say when you got these amazing players out there. But Nichushkin, the guy's huge. He's net front. It's, you know, I think that Nichushkin is the top value guy here. Plus, he bangs, right? He's a beefer. And then you guys all know how I feel about Brandon Montour. Dylan Cousins, I love the recent deployment, and he's got a spot on the top power play, so he's looking more like the Dylan Cousins from last year. But again, he doesn't really hit or do anything peripherally. Montour, yeah, he'll do some hits and blocks, but Nichushkin's that's your clear winner there. So if you can get him, you do it. Last couple questions for you guys. Thanks so much for sticking up with me here. All right, Ed Hockey Lover says, in a 12 GM keeper league, would you trade Logan Stankoven, put some stank on it, for Alexander Holtz? To be honest, I'm not super familiar with either of these players. Like, prospects are not really my thing. I usually get someone in the offseason to sort of educate me. But in this particular case, I just look at a better path to minutes. And I think we've seen with Alexander Holtz in New Jersey, like, he doesn't have a good path to minutes, right? And they've got a lot of young players on that team that are, you know, maybe standing in his way. Whereas Logan Stankoven comes in here and he gets three games where he's playing 15 minutes straight, where he's playing 15 minutes time on ice, and he's actually producing a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's a reasonable trade, but you know, I can't speak on that like I know exactly what I'm talking about. What I will suggest, though, is there's an amazing hockey podcast called Fantasy Hockey Life or the Dobbers Prospects Report. And Victor Nuno is an amazing guy to talk to about upcoming prospects. He's on Twitter as well. So check out Victor Nuno. He's awesome. And I bet he would answer that question for you right away. But, you know, what would I do? Yeah, I'd trade. I'd probably take the Stankoven side. Stankoven. I don't know. But yeah, I'm taking the Stank side over Holtz right now because I think he does have a better path to minutes. Dallas has some oldies on the team that are probably not going to be there too long. And I think this guy's sort of proven a little bit just in three games, like he can do some stuff. So there you go. Next up, Dark Canuck 99. Hey, Blake, I currently have a fully healthy roster with no one that I would consider droppable. Would you recommend I attempt to make a 2-for-1 trade to open up a swing spot before the playoffs? Or do you think it's likely I will need to move someone to IR Plus at some point? I know how important having a streaming spot is for the playoffs. My lowest ranked players are Tage, Fiala, and Monty, to give you an idea of what I'm dealing with here. Yeah, this is another great question, and it's right in line with what we talked about. I think ideally you want to make a 2-for-1, right? Or a 3-for-2. But yeah, opening up a streamer spot would be ideal at this point. You know, it's not a make or break. Like, sometimes you just have to go with who you have, right? And, you know, make hard decisions when you have to, right? Like, as these playoffs approach, you're going to hear me talk a lot about just being ruthless, right? If we have to drop a guy like Kevin Fiala, we do it. If we have to drop Brandon Montour, we do it. If we have to drop Tage, we do it. And I'm not saying drop those players now by any means, right? But you might not have to worry about that right now if you can't get a trade done, right? But that said, I would definitely try and make a 2-for-1. And we talked about it earlier. If you have to give up a little bit more just to get it done, I would do that, right? Like that's something I am interested in doing, something I've done all the time. Like, I just want to get the trade done. I want that open spot. So, you know, see what you can do, right? You obviously want to get a good player back in return, like a really good player, like some of the players that we highlight here on Apples and Genos. But yeah, I mean, if you're giving up, like making an offer they can't refuse, like that's sometimes what I do. So yeah, hopefully you can get that done. But yeah, if not, just hold on and see where your games played are for your matchups. And if you have to drop guys, then we can talk about that when it comes up, right? But for now, try and make that 2-for-1. All right, my buddy Jackson says, buddy, I would love to know your opinion on who your top 5 trade targets are for Cats Leagues from the following teams. He plays, his playoff weeks are 24 and 25. Big thanks and continue to get the biz, baby. You know damn well I'm going to get the biz. All right, I'm just going to go quickly through some of these players. So top 5 trade targets, my God. All right, so during that time, I mean, you know, obviously Buffalo, Vancouver, Anaheim, Edmonton, New York, New Jersey, Seattle, Tampa, and Vegas. They all have good schedules during that time. So, you know, we talked about Buffalo a little bit. Like, I love Tage, and I love Alex Tuch, and a couple people have already been able to secure those players. So I think Tage would be a really big one. But some of the things I like to do, especially during this time, because we're coming right up to it here, is like you might not be able to get these massive trades done. Like a Tage trade feels massive, right? But could you get someone like Jeff Skinner? Could you get someone like Alex Tuch? Could you make your team marginally better, right? Like if you go to the Vancouver Canucks, like just like the trade I made earlier on, I talked about, I got Philip Hronek, right? Who would be a great pickup to me in a bangers league, right? He plays a ton of minutes. He hits, he blocks. That's a good target for me. For the Ducks, like, I don't know. They don't have any real good players for bangers, but you might be able to get a guy like Troy Terry out of there. I'd be interested in that. Edmonton Oilers, obviously you're looking at Evander Kane, I think would be a great option because he's a little lower down, right? But obviously in a bangers league, he's supreme. He does that. Rangers, like, you know, we talked about the buy lows on the Rangers there. Yeah, I think this is all, like, for those 2 weeks there, like, I think there's a lot of good streamers available for those teams. But I'd be looking to pick up some players that are a little bit under the radar. I really like Philip Hronek, actually, as a player to pick up. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth. That's not really 5, but Jackson, I talk to you all the time. I'll give you my other ones on Twitter. All right, buddy. Jason P. says, do I need to start worrying about Stamkos? Where's the contract year rampage I was promised? I don't know. Yeah, we should start worrying about Stamkos a little bit. But, you know, his floor is super solid because of being on that power play, right? This is one of the best power plays, if not the best power play in the league. So, and he's on there and he's getting all the minutes. So that's really going to keep Stamkos's floor solid. I think he's on a, let's take a look at Stamkos here. He's on a 72 point pace. If he scores 72 on the season, that's not the worst, right? That's not going to hurt you so badly. Even if you draft him in the third round, like 72 points Stamkos, not the worst thing in the world. So yeah, what does worry me is he's been moved down the lineup there. That's not awesome. This guy kind of reminds me of John Tavares a little bit. Like they're sort of going through the same thing here. Yeah, but again, both valuable players. I'm not too concerned about Stamkos, but yeah, I don't think we can expect a 90-point season here. Contract year, he's going out with a whimper. All right, Jason 96, I'm in a 10-team dynasty, no salary cap, points with shots, blocks, hits. I'm going to end up in first or second with the following players on my IR: Nichushkin, Jake Guentzel, Dougie Hamilton, and now Kempe. I have Nichushkin and Guentzel back after my first round bye, but it looks like Kempe will be out for the season. Would you trade Kempe for Lafreniere? Rangers play 5 times in round 2 of my playoffs, which would be huge. Plus, I'm a Rangers fan. If you're really looking to win now, like obviously Kempe is a much better player than Alexis Lafreniere, like much better. To me, it's not even really close at this point. So it all depends on what you're trying to do, right? Like And Lafreniere, like, he's been hot and cold. Obviously, he's got a great spot in the top six there, but he's not never going to get a sniff on power play one. So it's always power play two there for Lafreniere. If you're really trying to win now and you don't mind giving up Kempe, then yeah, go for it. But to me, Kempe is the far superior player. I don't think I'd do it just for a few games of Alexis Lafreniere. That's just me. But, you know, there you go. And then last question here. Wow, Wubus. Again, hey guys, if you could keep one of these two in a banger keeper, who are you taking? Zach Hyman or Philip Forsberg? I'm going to go with Zach Hyman on that. This guy's been great this year, and he isn't even really redlining that much. I just think this is the player he is now. Philip Forsberg, great player as well. They're both very comparable. This is a super relevant question, but I think we got to tip it towards Zach Hyman because of the team environment, right? Like, he's, you know, he has access to these studs, and he's going to for a long time. He's on a 57 goal pace this year too, Zach Hyman. So, yeah, I'm rolling with Zach Hyman here. No questions asked. Philip Forsberg, a great fantasy asset as well, but I just think Hyman has too many things stacked in his favor. So there you go. Oh, there was one more question here that I should answer. This one's from Jackson as well. If you had to fight one of the following animals, which one would you stand the best chance against and why? A silverback gorilla, a male lion. I don't know why male. I mean, the females are worse, I think. And a Kodiak bear. Oh, my God. I think I'd go with the gorilla, actually. I mean, I just, first off, a lion. I mean, a lion and a bear, they're biting you, right? Like, a gorilla, his first attack isn't going to bite you. He's just going to, you know, Donkey Kong you right on the top of the head, right? So I think I'd rather not be bitten. So I'm going to go with the gorilla on that. Also, I don't think I could outrun a gorilla, but, you know, I could maybe have more agility than a gorilla. I don't know. Jackson, is this what you're looking for, buddy? It's this, yeah, none of this is good. This all equals me, you know, just becoming, you know, deceased. So, yeah, silverback gorilla, book it. That's how I'm making my bacon, all right? But that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's been really fun going through these questions, and thank you so much for all the for putting all those questions in there and all your efforts. And like I said, this is crunch time. This is where we really get the biz. So if you guys need anything, you folks need anything, please reach out to me. If I can help in any way, I want to get as many chips as we can for this community. That's what I'm doing here. That's what Nate and I are doing, and Josh. So. But again, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I will talk to you soon. Stay tuned for Rolling Lines, which is going to come out next couple days with Josh Hutchinson. But for now, celebrate your day. Bye for now.